You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Last week and the week before, we were speaking about the fact that God's Word and His law are absolute. John 17:17 tells us that God's Word is truth. Notice what it says here, Christ speaking in John 17, verse 17, in the true Lord's Prayer. He says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." It was at the time God began teaching and speaking to Adam and Eve, and when Christ spoke these words, and it still is today, and always will be. But we seem to think that we can just do as we see fit, or the way that seems right to me as an individual. Everything is relevant, no absolutes. That is the popular road that is traveled today. Does Christianity always take God's Word as meaning what it says and saying what it means? Do we, as professing Christians, read our own version into God's Word, trying to make it fit our mold? Have we watered down, twisted, and perverted true and pure religion? If you follow the biggest religious organizations and their teachings, would you be confident that you will be saved? Maybe that's something that we should think about. Is the majority always right? If they are, that is the 80% of Americans that profess to be Christians, why did Christ speak these words in Luke 12 and verse 32? It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, he's speaking to the church, and he calls the church the little flock. You notice Christ doesn't call his church the big flock. And if God and Christ were trying to save the world and get everyone believing and living the truth, that is living by every word of God, as Christ said we must do if we are a true Christian. Why then did Christ say, "If they have persecuted me, then they will persecute you"? You can read that in John 15 and verse 20. Speaking of his true followers, notice what it says in Isaiah 59 verses 14 through 15. It says, "Justice is turned back." And the word justice here means divine law. So it could read, "Divine law is turned back." Now, speaking of God's law, God's Ten Commandments, and other laws, of course, that God had written, inspired to be written. It says, "Divine law is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off." Well, there can't be righteousness without God's law, because God says that all of His commandments are righteousness. Now, I realize that God's law doesn't cleanse you from your sins, but I also realize that after you're cleansed from your sins, you must keep God's law. And that's what the Bible teaches. Justice is turned back, or divine law is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity, or fairness, cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. You notice what it says here in verse 15. It says, truth fails. In verse 14, it also says, truth has fallen in the street. In other words, what happens when something falls in the street? Well, it's trampled on. People run over it. So God is saying that truth has fallen in the street. In other words, God's truth is ignored. And fairness or equity cannot enter. So truth fails. Now, the reason truth fails is because people don't live by truth. Truth don't fail. It's people fail to live by truth. Truth is one of the most powerful things that has ever or that will ever exist. Nothing can withstand truth. So truth failed, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Yes, if you depart from the popular road of doing what you want to do, in other words, going the way that you see fit, ignoring God's word and God's law, then you set yourself up as a prey. You will be persecuted. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. This is what God inspired to be written 500 to 600 years before Christ. Now, could that be true today as well? Notice what Christ tells us that we must do. In 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 17, says this, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, yes, something that you have to obey. Well, of course, that's God's word. If you want to be a Christian, then you must obey God's word. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Now, this is something that we should shoot for, is to become holy as God is holy. Because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, yes, notice that, my friend, you're going to be judged according to your works, says, "Conduct yourself throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear." Yes, realizing that you're going to be judged someday according to the way that you have lived your life. Maybe we should ask ourselves, am I striving to do that, or do I know anyone that is doing that? Notice what Christ had to say here in Matthew 5, verse 48. It says this, "Therefore you shall be perfect," and it means you shall become perfect, "just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, God is perfect. That means he doesn't sin and can't sin. Christ didn't sin when he was on earth either. Otherwise, he could not have become our Savior. So God's mind and attitude, as well as Christ's mind and attitude and their character, is that of not sinning. Philippians 2, verse 5 has this to say. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was," and I might add, that is still in Christ today, "let this mind be in you that also was and that is in Jesus Christ." Now that is what a true Christian is striving for. And it takes a lot of studying of God's word to show ourselves approved as God's word commands us to do. It takes God's Holy Spirit in you, helping you to accomplish the big task of losing your life. Notice what Christ had to say in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 34 through 39. Christ said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth." Now notice that, my friends. Christ said, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now what does a sword do? What is a sword used for? Well, a sword divides, doesn't it? In Hebrews 4, and verse 12, it says that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it divides. And it means here, separating chief friends, rending asunder the dearest ties. Now, in other words, when you begin to follow Christ, when you really become a Christian, you are going to lose friends. You're going to lose support of family and friends. Christ predicted it, and it certainly happens. Verse 35, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That means when you turn loose of tradition, the popular road that is traveled, and when you start living and following Christ's example of keeping God's law and doing God's will, taking God's word for what it means, then you are going to be persecuted. Even your immediate family will turn on you much of the time. Verse 36, "And a man's foes will be those of his own household." Christ makes that plain, doesn't he? "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me either." In other words, Christ is saying, you've got to turn loose of everything if you are going to follow me. You can't let anything stand in your way. Verse 38, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it." Yes, if you hold on to your tradition, to your way of life, you are going to lose out on eternal life. There is a lot of changing that you have to do to inherit eternal life. Now, eternal life is a free gift. You don't earn eternal life, and I don't teach that. But I do teach that God will not give it to anyone that isn't living his way. "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Yes, if you lose your way of life, you will inherit eternal life. Freedom from slavery of sin or Satan's way cannot exist without absolute law. That comes from God's law of liberty. We must realize if we want to be a Christian, there are laws that we must obey. So like the Statue of Liberty, with her Torch of Freedom and the Tablet of Law, one cannot exist without the other. There is absolute law. It comes from God. If we truly want to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, it's time to wake up. If we truly want to be God's people and God's nation and Christian people, it is time to wake up. If we continue to march down the path society has chosen over the last 30 to 50 years, that of an immoral, materialistic, selfish, me-first rather than God-first nation, we will perish. Nations far more extensive, far more powerful, and far richer than our own have passed away due to the relativism of everything. Immorality, materialism, selfishness, and godless behavior. We've polluted and messed up everything we've touched. Our government, our legal system, our laws, our religion, everything I can think of needs fixing. The world's moral compass would change if we started taking all 10 commandments seriously. You know why? Because it is a start toward listening to God's word. Woe to those who dare to flaunt God's laws. Hear my words, my friends. Woe to those who dare to flaunt God's words. He does not ask us to obey his commandments. He demands it and he commands it. All 10. Salvation is there for all of us if we choose wisely. Repentance and accepting Christ as your Savior, choosing wisely begins with that. And following the 10 commandments, all of them. Prepare yourselves, churchgoers. God will not give you the free gift of salvation to anyone that flaunts his laws. Yes, you have to lose self and put on Christ. As the Bible says, you have to accept God's word and his law as absolute truth and live by it. If you would like to understand more about repentance and the Christian way of life, then we invite you to call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080, the Churches of God Outreach Ministry, and request our free literature, What Do You Mean, Repent?, and the article, What Makes a Christian? And all you need to do is just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request our free literature, What Do You Mean, Repent?, and the article, What Makes a True Christian? There's no cost, there's no obligation, no one will call on you, and no one will ask you for any money. We only want to give out godly information to you, my friends, free of charge. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle, and I'll see you on my next program.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.